The Israel Report with Rolene Marks. Hello, Rolene.
Good morning, Chad. How are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you, Rolene. What is the weather like? Has the storm subsided?
It has subsided a bit, enough to open the Geman in the north, which gets quite a bit of snow for skiing and all kinds of snow sports, which I won't be partaking in because I am absolutely diabolical at any kind of sport. If it involves a bat, a stick, a racket, a ball, or any kind of running, swimming, I'm hopeless.
Anthony was saying to us during the week the storm wasn't quite as bad as anticipated, and I said, well, it's better to over-prepare than under-prepare. Was that in fact the case?
Well, there were some parts of the country that were badly hit with floods. Some people were injured by falling trees. But, you know, we do like to be in a state of preparedness, sometimes over-preparedness. I know here in Mordi Inn, where I live, we had ambulances and police just dotted around the city should anything happen, but apart from really cold weather and a fortune of rain, which we're not complaining because it means that we, a desert country, get to have a lot of water coming in, and of course the Kinneret, which we all obsessively measure at this time of the year, has risen by at least 2 centimeters. That was reported yesterday. It's a huge big deal here in Israel. When the rainy season comes, we all get out our measuring sticks and keep a beady eye on the Kinneret, or the Sea of Galilee, as it is known by many people. And so that's received a lot of rain. So that's very important. Unfortunately, many Israelis don't know how to drive in the rain. But apart from that, it hasn't been as bad as we anticipated.
So two things we share in common: people that don't know how to drive when there's a little bit of water on the road. But another thing that we do share with Israel is water scarcity. And I am so happy to tell you that the Vol Dam is over 102% full. And countrywide, we are looking at our dams being in a better position in terms of volume of water than in a very, very long time.
Well, I also hope it rains in the national parks like Kruger, all those places. I want to see happy animals as well. But while we're speaking about water, Israel is the world leader in water recycling, and part of our major, major pivot in the next couple of years will be our focus on climate change. You know, Iran and terrorists can only keep you interested for so long, and yes, we have them firmly on our radar and firmly in our sights, but we also have to look at the region and climate, and that is an area where Israel intends to lead for the next couple of decades as we all fight the effects of climate change and the ravages on our planet.
So let's move on to the business of the day. We all love polls, and some polls are really fascinating. And a poll that came out recently shows in Gaza that the Gazans blame Hamas and the Palestinian Authority for the troubles they're experiencing. Only 15% blame Israel, and 7% actually blame Egypt. So this is a fascinating poll. Firstly, what was the poll about? What kind of questions were we looking in when it came to this poll? Was it relating to actual service delivery, or what was the poll centered around?
Well, this is a fascinating poll, and I'm curious to see if it will make the mainstream media. Probably not. It has been reported in the Jerusalem Post by Khaled Abu Tuame, who's probably one of our most respected journalists in this country. He's Arab-Israeli. He's very, very even-handed, and he works very hard to expose a lot of the corruption that is not talked about in the mainstream media that happens under the auspices of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So this poll conducted by the Palestinian Atlas Center for Studies and Research, and they describe themselves as an independent research institution with the aim of serving the Palestinian cause and spreading awareness about the Zionist enterprise and Israeli entity. So going into this poll, this is being conducted or was conducted by an organization that is in no means favorable to Israel. I mean, to refer to a sovereign state as an entity or Zionist enterprise shows you exactly where their thinking is. But the problems we are talking about are the various crises in the Gaza Strip. This is the economic situation. This is the humanitarian situation. And often, especially in the mainstream media and at international institutions like the United Nations, the African Union. I know South Africa is working overtime to try and get Israel's observer status at the African Union overturned. But very often you will hear members of the Palestinian Authority or Hamas or various pro-Palestinian bodies putting the blame squarely onto Israel for the situation that the Palestinians find themselves in. And what I find fascinating is that this institute conducting this research, in no way pro-Palestinian, has published some fascinating results. So let's take a look at some of those statistics. They believe, this is according to those polled, and it only allows a 2% margin for error. The institute say they're really, really fairly accurate on their polling, but they say that 45% of respondents believe that the Palestinian Authority is responsible for the various crises in the Gaza Strip, and 25% say they hold Hamas responsible. Now, why they largely blame the Palestinian Authority is because it's often seen that monies have to come in to the Gaza Strip via the Palestinian Authority. And because we have this internecine fighting between the two bodies, we have the Palestinian Authority withholding certain services. 7% blame Egypt, who also have a maritime blockade and also a block entry from the Gaza Strip into Egypt in place. And you know, very often we hear the blame squarely on Israel. Israel has a blockade. Israel has a maritime blockade, but it's often forgotten that Egypt does as well. And we don't just have a tunnel situation coming in from Gaza into Israel. We have one attempts to go into Egypt as well. And Egypt being quite less as humanitarian with the way that they deal with dismantling those tunnels. What is fascinating is that only 15% blame Israel. A large portion of the blame goes towards the two governing bodies of Palestinians, the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, for the humanitarian situation, for the blockade and for the situation they find them in. Another cause for concern for many is the withholding of salaries for thousands of civil servants and needy families by the Palestinian Authority, who've imposed their own series of sanctions on the Gaza Strip. So all in all, it's a very complicated situation, very, very nuanced. And as we often say, before speaking about the situation in the Middle East, you have to take a much deeper look. It's not as cut and dry as many people think it is.
United Arab Emirates, one of their astronauts took an Israeli flag into space. How fascinating is that?
Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that just telling you that peace between Israel and the UAE is out of this world, quite literally? So not only will we be cooperating on some space projects, which is really, really fascinating. We know that one of the first projects we're going to cooperate on is looking at the lunar, the movements of the moon, the lunar calendar, because both Islam and Judaism is governed by the lunar calendar. lunar calendar. So Hazaa al-Mansouri, he's the first Emirati astronaut in space, or he was the first Emirati astronaut in space. He's been and come back. He was aboard the Soyuz that was launched, and this is what is just too gorgeous. A year prior to the Abraham Accords, and he says that he took an Israeli flag into space, and he says, you know, he was very happy to come back down to Earth and present the flag that he took into space to the Israelis who have been present at the Dubai Pavilion. There has been the International Expo. Israel has a gorgeous stand presence at this International Expo. And he says, I took this flag with me 2 years ago on my first mission as an Emirati astronaut, and this is my gift to all Israelis. And the organizer for the Israeli stand, Josh Bandit, says, you know, this is really a precious and a touching gift. To come dressed in his spacesuit and visit our pavilion shows a genuine caring for Israelis. Now, we've often said, you know, governments sign peace deals, but do they really translate towards the public and to people? And in this case, in the case regarding peace between Israelis and Emiratis, we certainly are seeing that.
So is this a backpedal that we're seeing in Israel now, that they may delay the rollout of the fourth shot due to Omicron being perceived as less severe?
Well, this is what has been reported in the Times of Israel this morning. You know, we had scheduled, or the health ministry had given the go-ahead for the rollout of a fourth vaccine to start on Sunday as a result of Omicron, although the health ministry is saying that the majority of our cases here are still Delta cases, which could account for why we have taken quite a conservative and stringent approach. And although we are seeing quite a few Omicron cases, that the hospitalizations are much, much lower, which I know has been reported by South African doctors and scientists, and that for the moment we're going to delay giving out that fourth shot.
So we have two news articles left. We want to chat about Holocaust survivors which want to sue insurance companies. And then, of course, being Christmas Eve, the status of Christmas for Christians in Israel. Let's start off with the Holocaust survivors.
Well, this is a very important decision that has been taken by Holocaust survivors, and daily we lose more and more Holocaust survivors as the passages of time move on. And Shirat HaDin, which is a phenomenal legal organization in Israel, which helps to get justice not only for victims of terror and for the country as we face an onslaught of terror in its various iterations, including environmental terror. But many Holocaust survivors have approached Shirat HaDin to file cases on their behalf for compensations with insurance companies who from before the Holocaust literally owe the survivors and their families billions of dollars. It is predicted that we lose about 15,000 Holocaust survivors annually, and I'm sure these numbers will go up as they just age. And one of the areas of contention has been their ability to reclaim property and rights that were stolen from them during the Holocaust. Just prior to the deportations and the final solution, the Nazis seized insurance policies, bank accounts, property, businesses belonging to Jews and their families. And the survivors of the Holocaust say they want to reclaim their property, their accounts, their insurance, everything that was stolen from them prior to this. So the lawyers for Shirat HaDin have said that alongside trying to get back their property that was stolen, they're going to attempt to make claims on their insurance policies. Some have succeeded, some have had very limited success, but it is felt that for these survivors, time is running out and they deserve some kind of compensation or justice. Many sadly live in poverty around the world, which is to me unbelievable that we would allow, whether in Israel or in other countries around the world, Holocaust survivors to live under these conditions.
Rolina, moving on to Christmas.
Okay, so many people want to know, how is Christmas celebrated in the Holy Land? Well, first of all, there's a wonderful tradition that is done by the Jerusalem municipality every year, where thousands of Christmas trees are handed out to members of the Christian community for celebrations. This is done with no charge. This is a donation. This is a sign of goodwill from Jerusalem to the Christian communities across the country. But unfortunately, over the weekend, the Archbishop of Canterbury in the United Kingdom published an article in the Sunday Times saying that the situation for Christians in the Middle East is very dire, and blame fringe groups in Israel, which our foreign ministry rushed to correct, saying, you know, you did not discuss the situation for Christians in places like the West Bank, where they have been driven out, communities in places like Syria, in Iraq, that have been absolutely decimated by the Islamic State and other terror groups. And while we may have fringe groups in Israel, they are dealt with under the most severe laws as we would do to terrorists. However, a study that has been conducted on Israel's Christian community published these findings, saying that the 84% of Christians in Israel, mostly Arab, are very, very happy with life in Israel. The community has grown by 1.4% and is up to about 182,000 people. Now, you can see the communities across the country, places like Jerusalem, cities like Nazareth, who are decorated and lit up for Christmas. Cities like Haifa, a model of coexistence and tolerance. Usually we have the Festival of Light this time of the year, celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, and Eid al-Adha for the Muslim community. But we have a very, very happy Christian community in Israel, very happy to be part of the structure, volunteering in the army, serving in the upper echelons of the government.
It's must be difficult. It's a tightrope having three of the world's foremost religions in terms of not just size but of heritage, sharing space and wanting to practice their different traditions. But of course, we are living through different difficult times with COVID, and most probably we will see a lot more Christian pilgrims there next year. Rolly Marks, as always, thank you so much. Chat next Friday.
Chat next Friday, and wishing all our Christian listeners a very blessed and Merry Christmas.